And welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you follow me on Facebook. It's Sean Green Show Media. And on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. And the YouTube page, all the coolest videos are definitely up there on the YouTube page as well. Well, didn't get a chance to go to the show this weekend, but 50 Shades of Grey explodes with a record-breaking $81.7 million, okay? Setting new records for the highest grossing President's Day holiday opener of all time amongst the biggest R-rated debuts in history. Now, like I said, I haven't read the book. I haven't seen the movie. But a lot of friends have told me a lot about this 50 Shades of Grey and that it's a lot of sex in the book. And people that seen the movie said it wasn't, you know, it was sex scenes in it, but wasn't as much as it was portrayed in the book. Now, one of the things that it followed was, you know, this guy, Christian Grey, who is into BDSM. Now, I have no idea what that is. So I figure I'd bring in Sophia Chase. She's dominatrix and owner of Chicago Dungeon Rentals, LadySophia.com and ChicagoDungeonRentals.com. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing all right. First of all, I want to know, what is BDSM? I have no idea. I'm just into the I never tried anything different. I'm into the regular sex, but I'm always I'm always open to new stuff. So, what is this BDSM? What is that?
Well, you know, it's not for everybody, but BDSM stands for bondage and discipline, domination and submission, and sadism and masochism. There's a bunch of initials.
Okay, and how, I mean, how does one get into it? Is it something that they find out they're into, you know, early on in their sexual experiences, or is just, you know, trial and error?
Well, I'd say it kind of falls under the category of kinky sex, and kinky is a little bit subjective. So what's kinky to one person might be completely boring to another person. So some people might think, you know, giving spankings in the bedroom is kind of kinky. Other people, you know, that just makes me yawn, you know, no big deal.
So are there like different degrees of BDSM? And if so, what are they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's no one, wow, it'd be really cool if there was a scale of degrees of BDSM. I would love to see that if anyone has one. There are some people who enjoy intense sensations, so that might include pain. Other people enjoy just power exchange. So one person is definitely in charge and the other person is submitting to that dominant individual. So you have sensation play, you have dominance, and you do have some other things that are a little bit, you know, more physical. Some people enjoy bondage, really tight, restricting positions, because that has a lot of power to it. It all kind of boils down to power.
So it doesn't, yeah. So it doesn't always involve actual intercourse. It's just, you know,
no, it doesn't. I'm glad you brought that up.
Really? Because I'm like, okay, there's a lot of bondage and, you know, and different things, but I have not yet heard, you know, actual intercourse. So it's just people that's into things that makes them feel good, whether it be bondage or submission. So it may give off. Does it give off an orgasm or does it? Doesn't it?
Well, some people like to incorporate sex into their BDSM play. For other folks, the BDSM play, you know, it is the sex, and it doesn't have to be, you know, genital intercourse or an orgasm even. The journey, the kind of rise and fall of the entire scene is what does it for them. So it varies from individual to individual, and when people come to see me as a professional dominatrix, there is no sex in the scene, which I think surprises a lot of folks. It's plenty exciting without even needing to add sex in.
Now, with you being a dominatrix and you running your own business, I'm guessing business is really good. And is this something that's looked at as taboo that people, you know, try to keep secretive, or do are you around people that are pretty much open and they don't care who knows?
Well, for the most part, I think a lot of people keep this very private because it is taboo. There is a lot of judgment around it. Many folks in the BDSM scene, you know, even folks who go to parties and play with lots of people, they'll use a pseudonym. They'll use a scene name because we are judged so harshly, unfortunately. You know, I'm very out there. My face is out there. If somebody wanted to go and Google me, you know, if people I went to high school with wanted to find me, they could see it. Not a big deal, but I'm in a really lucky situation. There are other folks who, if, let's say, people that they work with found out that they were into kinky sex, it's possible they could be fired from their job.
Yeah.
And used against people in court when they're going through divorces so somebody doesn't get the kids. It's really, really unfortunate. But yeah, people do have to keep it secret.
I mean, have you ever been involved in something like that where it was like a divorce proceedings and somebody was like, hey, this person used your services. We need records of that. Has that ever happened?
That has not happened to me. It did happen to a dominatrix friend of mine. When she got married, there was a custody battle with somebody's ex-wife, and they tried to use the fact that she was into kink against her so that the ex-wife could get the kids instead. It was really unfortunate situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about 50 Shades of Grey. Like I said, I haven't seen the movie, but first of all, do you think that movie portrays BDSM in a positive light? And if not, what are some of the inaccuracies from the film?
Well, I will say I saw the movie on Valentine's Day. Figured I can't talk about it if I haven't seen it. and I've read about, I looked at the book the other day. I read about 60 pages of the first book, but I just couldn't get through it. So that's where I'm coming from. After seeing the movie, I'd say that the actual BDSM sex that they engaged in there, the BDSM play, so the bondage, they did some flogging and some sensation play and blindfolds. That all was actually pretty on target. They were doing it safely. People looked like they were having fun, and consent was talked about, which is great. The bad side of all of this is that all this BDSM sex happens within what I would consider an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So Christian Grey is extremely controlling. He stalks Anastasia. Trying to think what other stuff he does. He's very emotionally manipulative. And then on top of that, by the end of the film, it comes out that he's been abused as a kid. And it isn't said directly, but it's really strongly implied that that's the reason that he's kinky and weird, is because he was abused, so now he's into S&M, and he can't love any other way, and she needs to rescue him. You know, it's just that part is kind of fucked up.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I'm like, I mean, I'm just by talking to you, I mean, you're normal, you're funny, and you're easy to talk to, and, you know, all this stuff that's out there, people, you know, that's, down in, you know, people's sexual preferences as far as BDSM is concerned, you know, mm-hmm. Me personally, like I said, I never tried it. But who's to say I never will? And anybody in that same position, you know, it's like, you can't say what you won't try, you know, unless you tried it, you know, so that.
Absolutely. And you can try just a little taste of things. You don't have to go, you know, dive in, you know, head first. You try a little something, you know, bring a blindfold into the bedroom. That's, you know, some people think that's kind of kinky. Go
right
in there.
Right. Now, as far as your business is concerned, and when you have first timers in there, are they like super nervous or,
yes.
Cause I'm like, I'm trying to picture myself going into a place and, you know, first of all, knowing what I want, because if I never did it, I wouldn't know what I want, you know? So it's like, do you guide them to what it is that they want? Or do you sit down and consult with them before everything is happening? What happens there?
Absolutely. Before I even meet somebody face-to-face, we have a good conversation, usually via email and over the phone, so I can get a sense of whether or not we'd even be compatible. You know, just like if you were going to go see a therapist or if you were going to go date somebody, you want to have compatible personalities. Otherwise, it's not going to work for you.
Wow.
Really similar with Cena Don Matrix. You want to find somebody whose personality complements yours or their skill set complements your general interests. So I work really well with novices. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
So there have been people that you turned down. I mean, you being a business, I would imagine that you wouldn't turn down any business, but there have been people that you turned down. And I mean, what were the premises? Were they just, you know, were they kind of like sleaze bags or I mean, yeah, I'm quite sure. I mean, you may get them. I mean, it's like you get the sleaze bag. All they want to do is X, Y, and Z, and that's not what you're about. It's a genuine experience. So,
sure.
You know, with that being said, there have been people you turned down. Wow.
Sure. Of the people I turned down, I'd say they fall into two categories. One would be people who are, you know, they're creepy. I don't feel safe with them. There's just something off, and I won't see them. The second category would be people who there's nothing wrong with them at all, but their interests are just not something I'm into. Like, some people have wrestling fetishes. I am no good at that. I'm a really small person. I don't like full body contact. Wrestling with me, it just doesn't happen. So I'll refer them to somebody else, kind of like a doctor would make a referral to a specialist. I have wrestling friends. I'll send them there.
Wow. This is all just really interesting. I mean, because I really didn't know that, you know, that you actually turn people away, because I mean, I figure, hey, you're paying, hey, it's whatever you want, and it's not like that, and that's, you know, that's the thing that I really didn't know, and that's cool.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked then.
Yeah. So, all right. So, if people wanted your service, where do they go?
They go to ladysophia.com, or they can visit chicagodungeonrentals.com, and I have two rental facilities in the city of Chicago, so couples can come and rent out my dungeon either for a couple hours or over the weekend, explore it, or they can even take private lessons with me while they're there.
Oh, you offer lessons too? Oh my God.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so, all right, that definitely got to check that out. So, Sophia Chase, dominatrix and owner of Chicago Dungeon Rentals. Make sure you check out ladysophia.com and chicagodungeonrentals.com. And if you want to follow Sophia on Twitter, it's at Domina Sophia. So make sure you check that out. And she's also on Facebook and Instagram. So make sure you check that out as well. Sophia, you've been so helpful, and like I said, this is all totally new stuff for me, and it's, you know, who knows, maybe getting that call.
Oh, that'd be great. You're always welcome to come take a tour of the space, if nothing else, Sean. Pleasure talking with you.
Yes, thank you, and we'll be back right after this.